The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. The Philadelphia Orchestra presents the music of George Gershwin. John Kimura Parker plays the original jazz band arrangement of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Also, Marin Alsop conducts Shostakovich's Fifth Symphony. Gershwin tickets at philorc.org or at 215-893-1999. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
In next week's election for Montgomery County District Attorney, it's not the case against Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane that's defining the race, but rather the case against comedian Bill Cosby. I'm Dave Heller, and this is Newsworks Tonight. WHYY's Laura Benchoff reports that candidates are swapping ads on the other's failure to prosecute Cosby for sexual assault.
Less than 2 weeks before the November 3rd elections, Democrat Kevin Steele launched this ad against his Republican opponent, Bruce Castor.
A former DA who refused to prosecute Bill Cosby. Castor said, "We don't charge people for making a mistake or doing something foolish."
Castor was the DA when Andrea Constant accused Cosby of drugging and sexually assaulting her in 2004. Castor has fired back with his own ad.
Kevin Steele could have done something because he is still a prosecutor who chose to do nothing at all. Now he's trying to blame me for his mistakes and incompetence.
Steele is a current assistant district attorney in Montgomery County. University of Denver law professor Karen Steinhauser says determining from the outside if someone should have prosecuted Cosby isn't really fair.
A district attorney has an ethical obligation to decide whether a case can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not, do we want to prove this case? Is this a high profile, so we need to file something?
Constant, who settled a civil suit with Cosby years ago, has just jumped back into the mix. She filed a defamation suit against Castor for talking about her case disparagingly on the campaign trail. For WHYY, I'm Laura Benchoff.
A Philadelphia city commissioner with a questionable attendance record is finally found on the job. After days of stopping by and asking for an interview, WHYY's Tom McDonald discovered Anthony Clark in his office to start the week.
Okay, I don't have no comment right now. I'm busy. I'm working.
It took 5 days of visits to Philadelphia's city commissioner's office to find Anthony Clark on the job. The visits were at different times during the day, but Clark says he's there all the time.
You miss me. That's all.
The commissioners run elections in Philadelphia, and Clark is running for another term. Clark didn't want to speak about why various news outlets have had trouble finding him on the job or where he was last week.
I repeatedly, sir, asked to speak to you.
I know, we asked you, did you want an appointment? You
and
said
I
no.
I did say yes. I gave my name and phone number, sir.
All right, we'll get you an appointment to talk to me. It's no problem.
He also didn't want to talk about a Freedom of Information request for his attendance records put in by groups such as the Elections Watchdog, the Committee of 70.
You have to deal with the law department on that in 30 days, right? Okay, so that's be truthful.
Clark reportedly even failed to vote in 2012, 2013, and during the 2014 primary. David Thornburg of the Committee of 70 says the bigger question is whether Philadelphia needs three elected commissioners or to just appoint someone to oversee elections.
It's time we raise that question again with the electorate. And, you know, there's a process that you have to go through to get things on the ballot. We did this with the Recorder of Deeds a couple years ago, and it may be time to take another look relative to the city commissioners.
Clark did say he would speak further about the matter after Election Day, where he's expected to win another four-year term. I'm Tom McDonald, WHYY News.
Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter will give his final public keynote address tomorrow morning here at WHYY. The topic, public education. In the lead-up to the event, WHYY's Kevin McCrory spoke with the mayor about how schools have fared on his watch.
Michael Nutter set an ambitious education agenda when he took office in 2008. He promised to cut in half the number of students who drop out of public school, while doubling the number of Philadelphians who hold college degrees. In his inaugural speech, he promised to do both by 2015.
I'm asking you to join me in the greatest American city turnaround that anyone has seen in the last 50 years. Ladies and gentlemen, I've laid out for you, this is the new Philadelphia. God bless you.
To meet those goals, the dropout rate would need to plummet to about 15%, and the number of Philadelphians holding college degrees to rise to 42%. Soon after making these pledges, the worldwide financial crisis hit, Philadelphia's budget was slashed, And before long, Tom Corbett was elected governor with a mandate for austerity. Through Nutter's years, the state's share of Philly school funding has substantially dwindled, while city taxpayers have been pushed to make up the difference. Despite the floundering economy, the mayor did not backtrack on his promise.
The mayor is not in charge of directly in charge of public schools, and certainly not in charge of higher education. But I thought that setting goals, giving people something to reach for, that, in my view, was doable, was very, very important.
So, how did it turn out? Progress was made across the board. The dropout rate fell, and the number of residents with four-year college degrees is up. But both metrics have fallen well short of Nutter's goals.
I knew that, based on past history, I knew that it would be tough. I knew it would be a bit of a stretch. I don't believe that you can ever be too ambitious, especially when it comes to educating children. So what I would say is I set a very high bar. We've made significant progress as compared to what had been going on. You know, I could have said, you know, I think if we can get to a 60% high school graduation rate, you know, that would be a great achievement. We're at 65. Fantastic. Declare victory. That's bullshit.
In 2008, 53% of Philly students graduated high school in 4 years. 60% did so within 6 years. The latest numbers show that 65% are graduating in 4 years, and 70% are doing so within six.
Could you paint me a picture from the view at your desk, what the hurdles are to making that percentage go up even higher and higher?
There are a bunch of things, but I'll pair two of them together. It's funding and accountability.
On funding, Nutter stresses the need for the state to invest more in public education while implementing a formula that systematically directs more funding to districts with the greatest needs. On accountability, Nutter repeatedly says, quote, adult conversations need to be had. Specifically, he calls for the district to build consensus with the teachers union, which has been without a contract for more than 2 years.
The district teacher relationship really has to change. And as adults, we have to stay focused on who's the most important entity here. It's kids. So some of the things that these fights back and forth between the district and the teachers, some of them have nothing to do with educating a child, have nothing to do with the quality of what happens in the classroom.
But they'll both insist that it does, right?
Yeah, I understand that, because that's what adults fight about, right? But, whether a teacher pays, 1% or 2% or whatever for their health care has nothing to do with whether Johnny or Sally knows how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The two have nothing to do with each other.
Nutter also hinted at the need to change who runs Philadelphia schools. Since 2001, the School Reform Commission, a five-member panel of state and city appointees, including two appointed by the mayor, has been in charge.
You know, we've had, almost 15 years of this, and, we need to have a grown-up conversation about the future of all that.
For WHYY News, I'm Kevin McCrory.
And this note, Mayor Nutter's speech tomorrow morning will be live streamed at WHYY.org. Taking a look at this evening's headlines, Rutgers University's Camden campus is redoing its financial aid system so that new students from families making under $60,000 a year will not have to pay any tuition. There will also be big financial aid for students whose families have incomes between $60,000 and $100,000. The Bridging the Gap program announced today will cover tuition and fees, though not room and board. The school says it will cover all the tuition for the lower income students and half for students and families making up to $100,000 after federal grants are applied. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has signed legislation making those posing as members of the U.S. military to receive perks and benefits eligible for prison time and heavy fines. Christie signed the Stolen Valor Act into law today, along with two other pieces of legislation to support veterans. It's 6:15. This evening's forecast, mostly clear skies, low 42 degrees overnight. Tomorrow, intervals of sun and clouds, high in the low 60s. Clouding up Wednesday with rain heaviest in the afternoon, high near 70. You're listening to NewsWorks tonight on WHYY. Thanks for being a YStream supporter of WHYY. I'm Dave Heller. Let's pause now for some music. The On Trio are three Korean-American sisters, violinist Angela, pianist Lucia, and cellist Maria. We'll hear their take on the Rodgers and Hart classic, My Funny Valentine. That's the On Trio with a deconstructionist rendering of My Funny Valentine by Richard Rodgers and Johnny Hart. It's from their album, Lullaby for My Favorite Insomniac. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on Pledge Free Y-Stream.
Moore College of Art and Design joins you in support of WHYY and presents Art as a Refuge, creating a safe space for underserved populations on Saturday, November 7th. The day-long art and special education symposium presented by Graduate Studies features speakers and workshops on how art can help to establish spaces where young people feel safe and free to express themselves. Moore is located at 20th and the Parkway. For information, moore.edu/arteducationsymposium.
Caring Friends Home Care, a subsidiary of Friends Life Care Partners, supports WHYY, a nonprofit Quaker-based organization. Caring Friends Home Care provides in-home care services, including home care aides, meal preparation, dressing, hygiene, light housekeeping, and more. With hourly and live-in care, clients receive services while remaining in their own homes. Clients living in long-term care communities can receive additional support. Details at caringfriendshomecare.org.
The National Constitution Center proudly supports WHYY and presents America's Town Hall, discussing all sides of timely constitutional issues. Tickets are now available for an in-depth conversation on school choice on Monday, November 2nd. School choice explores the constitutional issues surrounding equal education, standardized testing, and the role of government in setting education policy. Tickets for school choice on November 2nd at constitutioncenter.org.
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. This Halloween offers the chance to welcome an otherworldly trick-or-treater. Let's prepare to be scared with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, should we open the door when this visitor arrives?
Yes, we actually can. In fact, this will be more of a treat than it really will be a trick. The only trick to this is that you'll need dark skies and a telescope to see this, but the interloper we're talking about is an object that seems to be maybe an asteroid, maybe a comet. The most interesting thing about it is that it's passing close to Earth. It's about 300,000 miles out, and it's about 1,300 feet across, which makes it a good, healthy size. But the real question is, well, what is it? Is it an asteroid, or is it a comet?
Will that answer be supplied when it gets to its closest point?
Sure. One of the things that's going to happen is the Goldstone Radio Tracking Telescope is going to ping radar signals off of this object to try to determine something about its composition. The thought about whether or not it's a comet is really related to its orbit. Its orbital path and shape seems to be that of what might be more like a comet than an asteroid. This object takes about 3 years to orbit the sun once, and it was first discovered just a few weeks ago in October 10th, so we don't know a lot about it yet.
Let's go with what we do know. Halloween is a cross-quarter day.
Yes, indeed it is. So we're about halfway through the season between the first day of fall and the first day of winter. This is one of those days that farmers of a long time ago used to use as a way to gauge where they were in the harvest season. The other thing that's happening, of course, is that you're losing light for being out in the field working. So that makes a big difference also.
And then there's a little bit of work to be done Saturday night, changing the clock back.
Yes, and maybe it's a good idea to do that just after you come back in from your trick-or-treating, because by 2 a.m. Sunday morning, we'll now push our clocks back 1 hour to compensate for the change in the amount of sunlight we have. Now, this doesn't help us on the back end of the day, because at the same time, of course, what's coming up is the earliest sunset is creeping up on us, and that happens in early December. So still losing time on both ends of the day, but fortunately, as I think of it, well, we're pretty much done with that by early December.
Though those late sunrises the past week offered some splendid opportunities to gaze aloft in the early morning sky and see that panoply of planets, what's available this coming week?
It's hard for me to remember another time, David, when the sky has been so wonderful in its offerings of objects to see, particularly planets. And normally we think of this as, oh, we go out to do our astronomical observing in the evening. But this treat of what's available in the morning sky of the planets Jupiter and Venus, which are now close together in the sky, and they almost look like one object, they're so close, and Mars just below them, has been remarkable to see all of these things together in such bright, clear, pre-dawn skies. So again, if you're up in the morning at 6 a.m., 6:30 in the morning, you can go outside and see these objects. Brilliant Venus, which is at its greatest distance west of the sun right now, means it's at its highest point in the morning sky. And we'll begin to see it over the next several weeks begin to drop back down toward the horizon as it continues in its orbit around the sun. Mercury, down low on the eastern horizon in the morning, is now down too low for us to see easily before the glare of sunlight comes up as it continues in its orbit. Over on the nighttime side of the sky, we have great stars and constellations. Saturn is sort of languishing low in the southwest just after sunset and will be a real challenge to see because it is down so low. So the activity again is still in the pre-dawn sky. And of course, for Halloween, we'll have a moon that's just past full, so it'll still look ghostly and goblin-like.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Bitz, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.
You find Earth boring, just the same old, same thing. Come on, time up without a space wave incorporated.
The Philadelphia Music Alliance has added 7 stars to the Walk of Fame on South Broad Street. New plaques honor Billie Holiday, The Tramps, Andrea McArdle, the original Annie on Broadway, rock DJ Harvey Holiday, the glam band Cinderella, and Ray Benson of Asleep at the Wheel. WHYY's Peter Crimmins reports that the headliner for the afternoon ceremony was the 7th honoree, The Roots.
There are 128 honorees with plaques embedded in the sidewalk along Broad Street. They're all artists, bands, producers, and DJs who have some tie to Philadelphia. One of them is Lee Andrews, inducted in 1992. He was the leader of the doo-wop group Lee Andrew and the Hearts. He's also the father of the newest inductee, Amir Thompson, better known as Questlove. He's the drummer from The Roots, the hip-hop group that is the house band for The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Questlove says he was overwhelmed to be given the same honor as his father 23 years later. He's also excited to be sharing a sidewalk with Earl Young, the drummer from the disco soul group The Tramps.
Earl Young is the whole reason for disco, 4 on the floor. You know, when you see people do Earl Young invented the reason why we do that. I'm truly overwhelmed that I'm even mentioned in the same sentence as the man who literally invented disco.
As for Earl Young, this is his 5th plaque. He was previously honored for his work with the South Soul Orchestra, the Monster Orchestra, the Baker Harrison Young Trio, and the Philadelphia International Records house band, MFSB. Now 75, he has been keeping his eye on Questlove.
Questlove, you know, I think he's a hell of a drummer. You know, he's like one of my idols, too. I'm a drummer myself, so we all hang out and watch each other. That's the love of it.
The 7 new inductees to the Walk of Fame all have plaques in front of the Kimmel Center on Broad Street's Avenue of the Arts. I'm Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.
That's all for tonight's show. Newsworks Tonight is produced by Shai Benyakov and Kimberly Haas. Find us on iTunes or listen at newsworks.org. Independent candidates for public office face steep odds. Nevertheless, next week's ballot in the Philadelphia mayoral race features 3 independent candidates. We'll meet them on tomorrow's show and learn what motivates them to take on the challenge. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for Newsworks Tonight.
The Barbara Brodsky Suites at Lankenau Medical Center support WHYY. Complementing Lankenau Medical Center's commitment to quality patient care, the suites are designed with their patients' privacy and well-being in mind. Each suite features private living and dining areas, personalized amenities, and concierge services. Designed to be warm and inviting, the Barbara Brodsky Suites provide a novel option in private hospital accommodations. To take a virtual tour, mainlinehealth.org/Brodsky.
Frederick Living supports WHYY. Frederick Living, a continuing care retirement community nestled in the beautiful countryside of Montgomery County, is proud to announce the expansion of their campus. The meadows at Frederick Living will consist of 55 cottages clustered in an innovative design based on the pocket neighborhood concept. Frederick Living is now taking reservations. Visits can be scheduled by calling 610-754-7878. That's 610-754-7878. Frederick Living. Live well.